Runners are still crossing the finish line in downtown Boston, completing that 26-mile plus a little journey from suburban Hopkinton in the 115th running of the Boston Marathon. There were some thrilling neck-to-neck finishes. The men's, women's, and wheelchair races have been decided, and we have an all-time record in there as well. So let's dial up Alex Ashlock, our resident runner, who's also our resident running reporter, who joins us from the finish line. Alex,
hi,
hi. Start with that men's race.
Oh, what do the kids say, Robin? OMG, the fastest marathon ever run in the world. Jeffrey Motai of Kenya, his time, I'm looking at the sheet right now, 2:03:02. That's 57 seconds faster than the world record. It's almost 3 minutes faster than the course record that was set here last year. So it's just unbelievable. I was in the stands watching this finish, and I don't even think the people watching it knew that it was a world record.
Right.
Everybody, with their mouths were just agape.
Well, we knew that the wind was going to be at their back, so there was that. But who came in second?
The second place finisher was Moses Mosap. He's also from Kenya. He was at 2:03:06.
Oh,
the
wow.
Third place finisher was 2:04:53, and Ryan Hawley, American, finished fourth. I think his time was 2:04:58.
Yeah.
If that's accurate, he's the fastest American marathoner ever.
And he was neck and neck for a while there, too, as well. But the women's race, heart-stopping.
Yes, it was.
Tell us about that.
Isn't it every year? This is, I think, the fourth year when it's been decided by us 3 seconds or less. And the winner this time was Carolyn Kalel. She's from Kenya, but the American Desiree Davila from Rochester Hills, Michigan, finished second as an American. I was speaking to her coach, and he was saying that other Americans had gotten a lot of attention going into the race, but they knew she could run well, and she certainly did that today, finishing second.
And we just have a couple seconds here, but the wheelchair division, both men and women from Japan, very inspirational.
Yeah, Masazumi Sojima from Japan won the men's race. He won here also in 2007. Wakako Tsuchida in the women's race, her fifth straight title.
Well, and they've both said they were inspired by their country and what's happening there. But as you know, Alex, runners always looking for inspiration, and they find plenty in a book that you found that collects some of the best stories from Runner's World magazine. It's called Going Long: Legends, Oddballs, Comebacks, and Adventures. You spoke to Dave Willey. He edits the magazine, put it together. Let's listen.
Running lends itself to so many things that are important in journalism and important in publishing. The service, the how-to information, of course, which readers have been coming to Runner's World for 45 years, but also the long-form storytelling, great photography, great design. It lends itself to online stuff, which is obviously important these days, interactive tools and online community, on and on and on. So it is a terrific platform for being a journalist and for serving what has to be one of the best readerships of any magazine in the world. I'm honestly, they're incredibly positive people, incredibly passionate, and that's a lot of fun, and it's a big challenge.
So all that plays into your decision-making process when you sit down to put an issue together every month?
Absolutely. Along with the knowledge that, true to our name, Runner's World, we do set out to serve all runners, whether it's people who are here in Boston, you know, to run the storied Boston Marathon. They've qualified their way here. It's really the cream of the crop. But also people who probably never will run a marathon and don't even aspire to run a marathon and maybe run 10, 15 miles a week to lose weight or blow off some stress or overcome an illness. Whatever their reasons are, they really look to Runner's World for guidance and inspiration and advice.
Is there one aspect of some of those things that you've been talking about that you really enjoy or want to promote in the magazine?
What I'm most passionate about is the storytelling aspect of it. It really is something that I think is important. I think people really crave storytelling, and it's something that was questioned for a while with the dawn of the internet and the digital age. Conventional wisdom was sort of that the web was going to kill storytelling, and in fact the opposite has happened. I think it really has enhanced the need and the desire for it, you know, in this world where we're all inundated with information 24/7. But the power of storytelling is that it inspires our readers, And it really builds bridges between people.
What inspires you?
There are a lot of things that inspire me. I have to say, and I think there are different kinds of inspiration. The personal inspiration is partly self-competition. I think it's important for everyone to have goals. It's funny, when I meet people, sometimes they assume that I'm some kind of Olympic-level runner. And I even, you know, I say, hey, let's go for a run. And people are, oh, no, I'm not running with the editor of Runner's World. And the opposite is true. Exactly. They assume. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm absolutely a middle-of-the-pack runner. But I'm competitive. I am a very competitive runner.
But it's self-competitive.
But I'm competitive with myself. And I think it's very important to have goals, regardless of how fast you run or what race you're doing, whether it's a 5K or a marathon, or maybe not even racing at all. The importance of having goals and training toward them, and then when the day comes, you step on the line and you see what you can do on that given day, to me is very inspiring. I'm also very inspired by people who can't run because of injury or disease. And I've met lots of them over the years, and some of them have been runners and lost the ability to run. And I try to never take it for granted how lucky I am to be physically able to run and to just have it be part of my life.
That's interesting. All those things you said, I was going to ask you this question. What would you say to somebody who doesn't feel inspired to be a runner anymore? And I think you just answered the question.
Yeah. I talk to a lot of new runners, and they ask for advice. And not just me, all the Runner's World editors. And one of the best pieces of advice, especially when you're starting out, is find a running partner. It can be hard to get yourself out there for every run.
You have somebody else pushing you.
You have somebody pushing you, and you know when your alarm goes off at 5-something and it's dark and it's rainy, it can be easy to just, you know, roll over and pull the covers over your head. But you know if somebody's out there waiting for you, it's a different matter. And I tell you, every single time, as painful as it feels, once you get out there and you're running, it's always worth it. It's always worth it. There are plenty of runs I don't feel like doing. I often have to talk myself into doing it. But without fail, once I get there, I'm glad I did.